Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Thank you. Good morning. All right, we are going to start. I need a volunteer. Wow, you volunteer even before I tell you what to do. Maybe I give you chili to eat? Yeah. No lah, not like that. Look at me, I'm so good. You like chili? Okay. You also like chili? Okay. Oh, okay. Everybody likes chili because we're Malaysians, right? You don't. You Malaysian? You sure? All right. I need a volunteer, a girl. A girl. All right. How about Claire? Claire, you come up because she's a girl. I need a girl. Okay, Claire, come up, Claire. Okay, we're going to do something today, Claire. All right. Wait, Claire, I am going to blindfold you, and then I'm going to push you down, but somebody will catch you. Okay, you want to go through with this? Wait, I need a mic, but later. Okay, no worry. Okay. But you can choose among four people. All right, who are my four guests? Please come up. The four guests? Adults, big children. I know you want to volunteer. Next time I call you. Four children, you come up. Four big children. All right. Here. Oh, that's your daddy, right? Wow, he volunteer. He very brave. And your mommy. Very brave. Okay. So you see these four people. You have to choose one that you can trust to catch you when you fall. Can or not? All right. But I will give them a chance to say something to convince you to choose them. Right. And we start with your daddy. Okay, daddy, why should she choose you?
Claire, choose me. I'll give you more iPad time later. You can trust me.
Oh my goodness.
No, choose me. I'm your mommy. I'm the child first champion. I bore you for 9 months, you know? So pain, I bring you to the world.
Child birth champion.
I will surely catch you.
Look at her face.
Choose me. I'm your pastor. I pray for you, you won't fall down.
Pastor, law. Next one, who's this?
Choose me. I cook for you yummy food. Yes.
Wow, good cook, very tempting. But Claire, it's your choice. Think carefully who you want to choose. Drum roll, Joel. Okay, drum roll. But I tell you what, hang on. I will ask the children to help you to choose one or not. Hey, children, who should Claire choose?
Jesus!
Okay. All right. Choose you. Okay. Choose the cook, Are you sure? Okay, wait. Choose Pastor Priscilla. Choose Pastor. Okay, wait. Okay, you're getting excited. You sit down. Pastor Priscilla. Wow, you're very popular. Sorry, Daddy, Mommy. And the cook. Wait, I asked the big children. Big children, who should she choose? Okay, never mind. Okay, Claire, you quickly choose because the drummer is getting tired. Who should you choose?
I don't know. I choose that.
Dad! All right, sorry, you three. You go back, You choose that, All right, Dad, you win for now. So I'm going to blindfold Claire. Think how it goes like that. Okay, so that you cannot see. All right. Okay, I'm going to push her, but gently. Dad, are you ready?
Yes.
Don't let your girl fall, All right. Because she trusts her dad. Do you trust your dads?
Yes.
Oh, Tiffany said no. Tiffany is so scared. Tiffany is the daughter. Okay, ready? Ready, drum roll. Go. Thank you, Claire, and thank you. Thank you, Edmund. And all of you, go down. Shoot. Go down.
Claire, don't fly.
No, not fly, go down. Okay. All right. Okay. Just now, I kept saying one word. Do you know what that word is?
Amen.
Trust. Not amen. Trust. trust. Do you know what trust means?
I know.
Yes, what?
Trust means like you. I trust you.
You trust me? Okay.
It means like you trust somebody. Like if, say, if you're going to fall off a cliff, you ask somebody to catch you.
Wow, you fall off a cliff. Not so serious. We only just catch like that. Okay, trust means you believe somebody and you're very, very sure and you're confident. And who is this boy? All right. And now is your time to put on your listening ears to listen to auntie. Right? Short one, only 10 minutes, then you can go back. Can? Trust. All right. Yeah, put on your listening ear. Trust. Now, do you trust your parents? You trust that later when you go out, your parents will give you food, right?
Obviously, yes.
Your parents will give you food. Some more. And your parents will take you to school and your parents do a lot of things. Do you think your parents will give you poison?
Oh, wow.
Why?
Because they love us.
Oh, that's the perfect answer. Because they love you and that is why you trust them. But sometimes parents do things Parents do things that you feel, torture me like that. Now, what is this?
Syringe.
You've seen a syringe, right? Yes. But I want you to put on your imagination power now. Pretend you have never seen this thing before. Pretend. Imagination power, huh? You've never seen this thing before. It's not poison. It's a Okay. Shh. Imagine. Okay, but you are supposed to pretend you have never seen this. So imagine one day, your father takes you to see a man. And then he talks to the man. And then the man takes up a syringe like this. But remember, you don't know what it is, huh? You pretend, huh? And then you saw that at the end of the... Alamak. Can't see, but at the end of the syringe, you saw there is a long needle. Yeah. And then you see that this man is coming towards you with a needle. Of course, you siam la, you're trying to move, right? But then you cannot move because your father is holding you tightly, don't let you move. And then you look at your father. You say, let me go there. I don't want that thing to come to me. But that man is coming to you with that syringe and he's pointing to your arm. And then you try to move, you wriggle, you squirm, but your dad holds on straight up to you. And then the man comes and tap you on the arm. You cry, Dad, why are you so cruel? Torture me, never take me away from this man. Yallah. But your father knows better that this injection, it's called injection, is good for you, right? This injection will make you better, or the COVID-19 jab is to prevent you, the bird flu, whatever flu, the doctor jab you, right? So it is... Yes. Is the injection to torture you?
Yes.
It is to make you better, right? You know, sometimes your parents make you do things that you don't like. Do homework. Brush teeth. Every day must brush teeth. Sometimes do chores. So, practice the piano, you don't like. Oh, okay. Okay, la, you don't like, you like. Okay, la, never mind, la, something like that. But your parents make you do things because they...
Love you?
Yeah, they love you. You got perfect answers all the time. Yeah, good like you. Yeah. He's perfect. They want you to practice. Michaela, you sit down, dear. Nah, darling, you sit down. And so, your parents do a lot of things that you don't see. Okay, I want you to look at this. Supposed not to show this, but never mind. What do you see on top?
Grass.
I see a plant with leaves.
Yes.
And roots.
You see. And below the plants, what do you see?
Roots.
Do you normally see the roots?
No.
You only see the top, right?
Yeah.
But the bottom, at the bottom, you need water. Too much also die. Too little will dry out. Sometimes put fertilizer. Your parents are like the roots down there. They do a lot of things that you don't see because they love you and they want you to grow, right? But there's someone who loves you much, much, much more than your parents.
Jesus!
Perfect answer, lah. I know, lah. But wait. Wait, wait. Okay, you want to say? Okay, I'll let you say it. But I want you to know one thing. If you take all the love of your father and combine, you take the love of your father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, uncle, auntie, your cats, your dogs, your pets, you combine all the love,
less than Jesus.
It will be this much. You tell me the story. Yes, boy. It will be this much, huh? But Jesus' love is?
Infinity.
This, yeah, infinity. It goes straight through, right?
From here to there.
Yeah, you're so excited. All right. Jesus' love is so much. Remember that. And so you can trust God because He loves you, right? God loves you so much, infinity, and you can talk to Him every time. Can your parents be with you all the time?
No.
Yes, can I?
No.
No. Can your best friend be with you all the time?
No.
Can your grandparents be with you all the time?
No.
But God can be with you all the time, 24/7. 1252, 365, whatever lah. God is with you all the time. When you're afraid, you can talk to Him. When you sleep, He's with you. He's watching over you. All right? And now, we're going to pray. But before that, after this, you're going to go back to the seat. All the big children, you go and sit there. Because I need to talk to the big children there for just 15 minutes. Can or not? 15 minutes, but Pastor Priscilla has got worksheets for you to do. So you do that quietly. And the younger children, you may go there and parents can come and pick up the preschoolers back to your seat. And just be quiet for 15 minutes. Can, huh? All right, we are going to pray. Okay, give me back my syringe. If not, the doctor will give it to you. All right. All right, let's pray now. Okay, we're going to pray. And when we pray, we are quiet. Thank you, Jaden. Put your hands together, Michaela. Yeah, put your hands together so that you don't pinch the person beside you. All right. Come, we all pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us so, 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 so much. It's infinity. And because you love us so much, we can trust you. Then anywhere we go, whatever situation we are in, we can just talk to you. Thank you that you're with us all the time. And all God's children, you say this as I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes, and now you go back to your seat and be quiet. Parents, you pick up. Yeah, you go and see big children. All right, go. Go back there, Michaela, go back. All right, to your parents. All right. And now I address the big children. Good morning, big children. All right. Morning, everyone. Happy Children's Day. Oh, let me get my slide. Here you go. Oh, dear. Okay, never mind. Happy Children's Day. And you're probably wondering why I chose that Psalm 115 passage. Instead of the normal children's passage from the Bible, the people were bringing their children to Jesus to bless, but then the disciples shooed them away because they thought that children were not important. Jesus has more important things to do. But not in PJFC. Children are very important in PJEFC. I can imagine. This thing keeps slipping out, so just hang on. I can imagine if parents bring their children to Elder Chairman GN or Pastor Alexa and ask them to bless their children, the two will stop the world to pray for the children. Because children are very important in PJEFC. I know this because I've been involved with the children's ministry in this church for the last 27 years, 1996. And we've always had a healthy budget for the children. And now we have a pastor, Pastor Priscilla, young, smart, capable, and godly. And we also have the family life ministry under our senior pastor. Don't play, serious business. And we now even have Pastor Josh, who's assistant in the family life ministry. So it is very important. So why did I choose Psalm chapter 115? Right? It's because of two concerns that have been bothering me for a long time about the children's ministry. Two deep concerns. The balik pula, sorry about this. All right, and it is this. Can you see that? In 1997, our average weekly Sunday school attendance was 320 kids. That was a peak. I joined in 1996, and then 1997 it was the peak. And then at that time, we had about 500 adults. In 2023, currently, we have average weekly attendance, 55. And our adult congregation is about 590. I took the 2019 data from the AGM report because that is more reflective. 590 adults. So that has been something that has been bothering me a long time. I think there are many reasons. One thing, biological growth. Our young people are not producing more children. At that time, we were popping babies. And then the parenting scenario has changed a lot over the years. All right. But this morning, I heard Sui is pregnant, and she says somebody else is pregnant. So next year, we're going to have more babies. Hooray! That will increase our average weekly attendance. Right? But Evelyn is a birth champion. She got four. Yep. The second concern is this. Over the many years that I have been involved with the Sunday school ministry, I have seen many of the kids that have gone through our Sunday school doors, they have wandered away. They have gone AWOL, missing. They are lost in the wilderness. And that includes my own three sons, right? Gone through Sunday school, gone through youth ministry, gone through CUG, but they have not been able to reconcile what's going on in the world around them, the pain, the suffering, and there are many unanswered questions, unresolved. And so they are very disenchanted with the faith that they were brought in. Now, this issue is not unique to our church. It's happening everywhere. So after a long time of reflection about these two issues that have been burdening me, I have finally resolved these two concerns in just one word. And guess what that one word is? It's trust. Trust what? Trust whom? I'd like to share three things that I trust. I can share a lot more, but we only have 15 minutes. Three things. Number one, I trust that God is still at work, even when I don't see things happening. John 5:17. It says, my Father is always working, and so am I. And Jesus was replying to the Pharisees who were attacking him for doing a healing on a Sabbath. And that's when Jesus said, my Father is at work, and so am I. So we trust that God is still at work in the lives of those children who have gone through our doors, even the youths. And we trust that God will do the needful with the seeds that we have planted in their hearts a long time ago. On the surface, maybe you don't see many things happening, nothing much. They may still be indifferent, cynical, even antagonistic. But below the surface, behind the scene, let us trust that God is at work in their lives. Several months ago, I decided to go back to the gym, but this time, serious. Strength training, lift weights, no fun classes, no Zumba, nothing. So I signed up with a gym that just provide all the gym equipment, no classes, very cheap. Senior citizens discount 30% off, so it's very cheap. So I went obediently, I worked out, and after 5 weeks, one day, I happened to look down at my arm, and I saw a little bump. And I said, could it be? So I clenched my fist, clenched like that, and then I touched. Wow, hard leh. And then I realized, it's muscles, bicep muscle I finally have. And not huge lah, like Pastor Yu Yong lah, but little bit lah, but it is still muscle. And now I understand why guys go to the gym, because when they see the results, they keep going, right? On the surface, I wasn't aware that something below was happening. And what was that? As I work out with the weights, the muscles, fiber, tear, and the body repairs itself. And that's how you get your little bumps, for the men, a big bump, lah, here and there. So I continue to work out because I see results. But what if there are no results? What if the ending is not good? Despite all that we do, we pray, we work, we whatever, all the little children that we have taught, they don't return home. What if my children don't return to the faith that they were brought up in? And much as I pray and hope, I don't know the outcome. 14 years ago, I gave a kidney to my brother. And after that, I had complications. So one dear lady in the church who knew about my complications, she said, Joad, trust God, he will heal. Really, yeah, he will heal. But the doctor said, live with it, lifelong. Just live with it, manage the condition, right? So trust God. When I turn to the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, it says this, now Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Wow, I was thinking, this Elisha, great prophet, did so many miracles, even raised a dead boy to life. And yet he died from an illness, which he died. It doesn't mean that I'll die from this illness, lah. But it taught me that we can do a lot of things. We can pray, we can work, but the outcome may not be what we want it to be. When we say we trust God, I suspect we tend to trust him for what we think he should do for us. He should heal. He should give us good husbands. He should give us good wives. He should give us good children, get straight A's, musically talented, very athletic, everything. Is that trust? The late Tim Keller, one of my heroes of faith, he says this in his book, Walking with God Through Pain. If we say, I know you will answer this prayer, God, you can't not answer it, then our confidence is not really in God's wisdom, but in our own. Trust God, but in God's wisdom. Genesis 18 has the account of Abraham bargaining with God, because God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God told Abraham, I'm going to do it. And Abraham had a nephew, Lot, in Sodom. And so Abraham started to bargain with God. 50. What if there are 50 righteous people? Will you spare the cities? God said, okay, I'll bargain 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. And at 10, he stopped. Why stop at 10? If it were my husband, you bargain down to 1. Because my husband, very good bargaining. And he loves a good bargain. But as Abraham bargained with God, his confidence in God grew and grew. Till at 10, he was fully convinced that God will do right. At 10, he surrendered. And we know that he surrendered, he trusted God at 10, because the verse at the end of chapter 18 said, when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left and Abraham returned home. Finished story. It's like you go for a movie and then finish movie, you go home. It means that Abraham had resolved it. He didn't rush down to Sodom to rescue Lot, because four chapters earlier in Genesis 14, he rushed to rescue Lot with his men when Lot was captured. Abraham surrendered to God and trusted God to do the right thing. And this leads me to the second point. Trust God for who He is. Trust God that He is all-loving. When I look at the world around me, the Middle East war, Ukraine-Russia war, all the pain, all the suffering, all the sickness, I also wonder, is God really a loving God? And one can easily sink into despair. But thank God for the cross. I think of the cross, I see Jesus suffering, agonizing pain, bearing my sins. He who was sinless took on flesh, lived as a human being, and finally died on the cross so that I do not need to die a second death. I am spared from eternal death. Anne Boscom is a Canadian author. When she was 4 years old, she saw with her own eyes her sister crushed to death by a delivery truck in their farm. Her sister was 2 years old. And then, as an adult, Anne wrote about this in her book, 1,000 Gifts. And here's what she said. If trust must be earned, hasn't God unequivocally earned our trust with the bark on the raw wounds, the thorns pressed into the brow, your name on the cracked lips? Jesus has earned my trust with His willing death on the cross, so that no matter what happens in my life, in the world around me, I just need to look at the cross, and I am immediately reminded that God is all-loving. Jesus entered our world and suffered alongside humanity. He died to pay for my sins. He has earned my trust. So trust that God is all-loving. And finally, trust that God is all-knowing. He knows more than you. He's smarter than you. He's smarter than all the most brilliant minds combined. He knows everything from the beginning to the end and thereafter. I'm a huge Agatha Christie fan. So when I was much younger, I used to devour her books. And sometimes when I who's a killer, who did it? I turn to the back to find out who did it. And you may say, aye, a spoiler. What kind? You don't want to know. You want the tension. No, I don't want the tension. I want to know who did it. Then I will go back and continue reading and enjoy the book because I already know who did it. I'm already relaxed knowing who did it. And I enjoy the story better once I know the end. Because when I don't know how the story ends, I am filled with tension. When I know the end, my tension is lifted. And my son, he knows I'm a huge AC fan, so recently he bought us tickets to watch A Haunting in Venice. So halfway through the movie, I asked my sister on my right, who do you think did it? So she said, it's this person. So I asked my husband on the left, who? And he said, this person. Then I said, no, it's this person. And I was right. Read too many Agatha Christie books and agak-agak, you know lah. But still, I wasn't sure, you know, so I was still a bit tense lah. What to the end? And at the end, it is, I don't tell you lah, in case you haven't watched the show, it is that person who did it, and I was right. And such is our life. We worry, we get anxious, we are tense because we don't know the end. We don't know what's ahead of us. But I know someone who knows the end. He's the author of my life. And if my life were a book, I would go to the end pages. Would you do that? I would go to the back pages to find out what happens at the end. Will my three sons come back to the Lord? Will my brothers, whom I have been praying for, will they come to faith in God? Will I have grandchildren? I don't know. But I know, because God promised one thing, a glorious future for all of us. Our life on earth may not end well, but there is a glorious future ahead of us. Revelation 21 says there will be no more death, no more moaning, no more pain, no more crying, and we'll be with God forever and ever. The author of life has written that in our books, if we trust him. So trust that God is all-loving, he is all-knowing. And finally, this is not really finally. Trust requires obedience. Obedience is an expression of trust. It's like faith and works. You can't have one without the other. And obedience may demand you do something. And if you have a relationship with God, you will be able to hear from him. And usually he speaks to us through his word, right? I have time to give you one last story, my favorite obedience story. Some of you may have heard of it, but a good story bears repeating. Lee Strobel, he wrote The Case for Christ. Best-selling author. Now, Lee Strobel was a hard-nosed atheist. He was the legal editor of the Chicago Tribune and award-winning journalist. And when his wife became a Christian, he decided he will go on a 2-year quest to investigate Christianity. And from there, he produced the book, The Case for Christ. He became a Christian, and he decided to quit his job and entered full-time ministry. And one day, he was near his office, old office. And he felt God telling him, go to the office and talk to that former editor there, the editor there, and invite him to your Easter program. And he said, that man, wow, very hard lah. I don't think he will say yes, but never mind. I will obey, I will go. So he went to the office, met up with the man, foul-mouthed journalist, very intimidating. But Lee asked him to go to his church, the Easter program. And the man said, hell no, why would I go to your church? So Lee said, okay, but if you change your mind, please come. And then he walked away. And as he was walking away, he said, God, what is this all about? Look at him. He didn't even respond. But never mind, he obeyed God. So months later in church, this man went up to him and said, Lee, you do not know me. But remember that day when you went and invite the editor to church? I was actually down on the floor, tiling the floor. He said, I was in between jobs. And so I was tiling the floor and I heard what you said. And I decided I would come to church. And I came for Easter and I'm now a Christian. You see, sometimes when we obey God, it doesn't make sense. Because the outcome is what you think it should be. But God does things behind the scene, below the surface, that we do not know. So trust God, just obey. And in the case of our children, I surrender them to God, trusting that he is at work in their life and that he is all-loving and all-knowing. What are the things in your life that you need to trust God with? You face a health crisis, very challenging situation. Pray, plan, put in all your effort as if your life depends on this. And then you trust God because your life depends on it. In a war, a white flag means surrender. It means I want peace. I have found in my experience when I surrender to God, when I trust him, I experience his peace. And it's the peace that comes from trusting him because he is still at work. He is all loving. He is all knowing. And now I invite the worship team to come up to lead us in the closing song. And I shall close with this scripture passage just now, but I shall personalize it to PJEFC. Psalm 115. Oh, PJEFC, trust the Lord. He is your helper and shield. And in my case, he shields me from doubt and despair. Oh, elders, pastors, deacons, ministry leaders, CG leaders, trust the Lord. He is your helper and shield. All you who fear the Lord, trust the Lord. He is your helper and your shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless PJEFC and bless the people of PJEFC. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both great and small. May the Lord give you grace and strength to trust and obey him. Please rise as we sing the closing song, Trust and Obey. Thank you.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.